Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you. It's good to welcome you to worship today on this All Saints Day. And we are going to reflect that in the first hymn that we are going to share in. So can I invite you to stand as we hear the organ playing the hymn For All the Saints. I have to say, I had a notification from the diocese which reminded me last night various helpful things, including the fact that humming behind your mask is not allowed. So says the diocese, so say I. But anyway, let's stand and share together in For All the Saints. Thank you, do sit down. I don't know about you, but that tune always gets me. And I bet those who are at home watching were pleased that they could sing with all their might. I hope you enjoyed it, as did we. The words take on an extra significance, don't they, when you're reading them rather than singing them. That bit about us feebly struggling seems to be a very appropriate line today, especially when we think about we feebly struggling, but the saints shining in glory. We turn to our Red Communion booklets to the top to say on page 2, the prayer of preparation together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, "The first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." Amen. Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven and to bring us to eternal life. Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. After some moments of quiet for our own personal reflection, we will say the first prayer on page 3. So we say together, Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbour in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you, pardon and deliver you from all your sins, confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We stand to say the Gloria together. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world. Have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One. You alone are the Lord. You alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And we say together the Collect for All Saints' Day. God of holiness, your glory is proclaimed in every age. As we rejoice in the faith of your saints, inspire us to follow their example with boldness and joy. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first reading this morning is going to be a psalm, or part of a psalm, that we are going to say responsively. It's Psalm 95, the first 7 verses. I will say the words in white if you respond with the words, please, in yellow. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us come into his presence with thanksgiving. For the Lord is a great God. In his hand are the depths of the earth. The sea is his, for he made it. O come, let us worship and bow down. For he is our God. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be. Amen. Sorry about that, rather a lot of evers there. Right, thank you. And we remain standing now because we are going to have our gospel reading, and it's going to be read by Janice Price, who is an ordinand in training, so she's training to be a vicar, and we have the pleasure of her company and her wisdom. For the next 2 months, she's going to be placed with us. So we're delighted to welcome Janice and hear the gospel reading from her.
Thank you, Helen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, O Lord.
And the gospel is taken from the 10th chapter of Luke, starting at verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even in your name the demons submitted to us." He said to them, "I watched Satan fall from heaven like a flash of lightning. See, I have given you authority to tread on snakes and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice at this that the spirits submit to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." At the same hour, Jesus rejoiced in the Holy Spirit and said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows who the Son is except the Father, or who the Father is except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him." Then turning to the disciples, Jesus said to them privately, "Blessed are the eyes that see what you see, for I tell you that many prophets and kings desired to see what you see, but did not see it, and to hear what you hear, but did not hear it." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ. Take my words and our minds and hearts, and let them be filled with messages from thee. Amen. This week and through November, we will be thinking, I hope, about our 7 whole days vision. That's about being faithful and faith-filled Christians every day of every week. But also acknowledging this challenges of that in a time of pandemic. And each week we are going to be thinking about a particular aspect of our faith or practice to do this. And so it seemed like a very good idea that on All Saints' Day, we would begin with joy, as we celebrate those giants of faith who have gone before us. Now, when I was writing this in the middle of the week, I could hear Simon leading his weekly sing-along at the Star and Garter, and they were singing, "Oh, I Do Like to Be Beside the Seaside." And I have to say, that felt all a bit incongruous at the time, as much as it was tuneful. And you might think, especially in the light of last night's announcement, that to be talking about joy is pretty incongruous. That there's a jarring sense of talking about joy alongside our present existence, which can often, or does at the moment perhaps, seem pretty joyless. Not much happening, rising levels of illness and anxiety and isolation, and of course the prospect of a national lockdown on Thursday. But nevertheless, we are going to talk about joy, and I hope you will be convinced that it is the right decision to do that. I wanted to start off by giving you a little insight into what's going to be the children's address on joy a little bit later. This is a spoiler. It occurred to me that if you look at the word joy, it could give you the question using a mnemonic, Jesus or you. And I want, if you don't take anything else away from this sermon, just to think about the question in the next few weeks, Jesus or you. As Christians, we are told, it's in the Gospels, in Paul's letters, that we are meant to be full of joy. And I know when I'm feeling rather sorry for myself, I occasionally think, oh, I'm meant to feel joy. I don't feel joy. And I think the question I need to ask myself in that situation is, Jesus or you? The bit about feeling sorry for myself is when I'm reflecting on myself and I'm involved in my own issues. If by use of that mnemonic I think about trying to fix my eyes upon Jesus, then I think joy may be forthcoming and should be forthcoming. So have that in the back of your minds as we go through a bit more of the sort of heavy stuff, dare I say it. Because if you look in the Gospel and especially in Acts, you see that for the early church, joy was very much part of their sort of self-understanding. One commentator put it that joy was the believer's condition. It was joy that St. Paul wrote over and over again about in his letters, and he displayed it, as far as we know, right to the end of his life. Now, no sermon on joy would be complete if we didn't mention the letter to the Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Philippians 4:4, written while Paul was in prison. And then in the letter to the Romans, Paul says, the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. St. Paul is here trying to move the Jewish believers, or former Jewish believers, away from the fact that they used to root their joy in public celebrations and the temple cult and festivals. And he's teaching that joy is now mediated and found in Jesus Christ and the Spirit. And in doing that, Paul is actually extending the message of joy in the Gospels. And nowhere is that more the case than in the Gospel of Luke. Think about it, the beginning of Luke's gospel. What do we hear? We hear Mary's song, her joy at being told as a young, unmarried mother she's going to bear a child. We hear Elizabeth's baby leaping for joy in the womb. We hear the shepherds and the angels all responding with and to joy. And at the end of Luke's gospel, we hear the disciples worshipping the ascended Jesus and returning to Jerusalem with great joy. And I wonder if you noticed the joy in our reading. I confess I'd never really noticed that in that reading, the disciples returned from their travels with joy. In their travels, they had been exorcising demons and spreading the good news. And this in turn caused Jesus to be full of joy through the Holy Spirit. Joy here is about being in tune with what God is doing. The disciples are working in collaboration with the liberating work of the Messiah, freeing those enslaved by evil powers. And Jesus experiences the sense of fulfillment that he and the disciples, they're together, they're on the same page, they're doing the same thing, and it's the work of the Spirit, and it's God's saving work, and that brings them joy. And there are so many other examples of joy in Luke's gospel. Joy at the discovery of the lost sheep, the lost coin, the lost son. These are all stories of a reversal of fortune, of the transformation of the lost, of the poor and the lowly. So Luke's gospel is, if you like, a gospel of joy. Joy which comes about in response to God's work of salvation. Joy is a serious business because it flows from the big story of our life, that Jesus Christ died for our sins and his death and resurrection prove that he was victorious over sin. If we really believe that what happened on the cross gives us eternal life, then joy is the way of our life. It makes our new way of life
as one commentator puts, even worth dying for. That's why saints have met their death with joy. Why the persecuted, like St. Paul back then and today across the world, express joy in their situation. Why in the book of James we read, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. So there seems to be something about joy marking the sustaining work of the Spirit, especially in suffering. And expressions of joy follow from the recognition of points of turning around, of transformation. When we do that turning, when we do that transforming, we're in tune with what God has done for us and is doing for us. And we realise that, and we come to know that that's what really matters. And this can transcend our earthly experiences of pain and grief and shame and ultimately death. We turn from the troubles on earth to the promises of heaven. Joy, Jesus or you. So it's appropriate also that we think of this whole area when this afternoon we're having our service of remembering and thanking. But as we do it, and I don't want you to mishear me, please, because we still need to get our bearings in all this, especially today, to remind ourselves that when we talk of joy, we're not talking of merriment. We're not talking about a transient feeling or a foolish grin on our face. I like to think of joy much more as what I call smiling on the inside. We can smile on the inside, even as the tears are streaming down our faces. Because joy expresses alignment with the ways of God, not the fact that we're enjoying ourselves. So, 7 whole days in time of COVID and joy. If we're seeking to be Christians across the week, when life is difficult or when it's better, I hope you've seen our quick delve into Scripture tells us that we should be joyful. Joy surpasses our earthly experiences, but it doesn't necessarily come naturally, and so we need God's strength to help us. That's why Paul teaches about it so much. And we read that joy is expressed powerfully in hospitality. How ironic to express that this morning. But it's also in healing, in thankful songs and the solidarity of shared feelings. Paul writes how joy and the progress in faith go hand in hand. It's as if progress in faith provides the objective measure, and joy in the faith is our subjective experience of that. Paul writes about joy and holiness. He talks about joy and peace. Those pairings together, giving a profound sense of connectedness with one another and with God and his purposes. So as we struggle through or hide away in this time of COVID, let us remember that joy is not a feeling, but a gift from God, which becomes a responsibility for us as believers witnessing to him in the world. We need to recover joy in our language and in our thinking more than ever. Perhaps to do that, we remember that idea of joy being about the question, Jesus or you. That may not help you. I think it's going to help me. And I realise that this morning this may sound heavy-handed. But as Christians, I feel fundamentally we do need to practice joy and exercise it almost as a discipline and pray to God for strength and for more of it. And sometimes Christian joy may translate into a warm, fuzzy feeling of joy, but there's no promise of that. What is promised is that we have a Christian hope. And I liked the theologian who described joy as the felt form of Christian hope. We have Christian hope. And it's joy that's the felt form of that. So, as we are 7 whole day Christians this week and into the next month, I'm not suggesting it's going to be easy, but let us have an idea, a sense, perhaps even a challenge of joy in our lives. It's our inheritance as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
We come now to say the creed, which you will find on page 7. We stand to say it together. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate from the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and was made man. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the 3rd day, he rose again in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
Let us pray to God, who is our refuge and stronghold. We pray for the health and well-being of our nation as we approach another time of lockdown, that all who are fearful and anxious may be at peace and free from worry. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope and their joy. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We pray for the isolated and housebound people and all in any kind of need or distress, that we may be alert to their needs and care for them in their vulnerability. We pray for our homes and families, our schools and young people, and we ask for a blessing on our local community, that our neighborhoods may be places of trust and friendship where all are known and cared for. Lord, hear us.
Lord graciously hear us.
We think about the distressing news of the deaths of the family at sea off Dunkirk this week. Oh. almighty and merciful God, whose son became a refugee and had no place to call his own, look with mercy on those who today are fleeing from danger, homeless and hungry. Bless those who work to bring them relief. Inspire generosity and compassion in all our hearts. And guide the nations of the world towards that day when all will rejoice in your kingdom of justice and of peace. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
At this time of the season of All Saints, we remember those close to us who have died, and we pray for all who will attend the service of remembrance this afternoon here. We pray for all who grieve. O God, who brought us to birth and in whose arms we die, we pray for all in grief and shock, that you will hold and comfort them and embrace them with your love. Give hope to all in confusion and grace to let go into new life through Jesus Christ. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
And as we think of the saints who have gone before us, we give thanks to all who have helped, encouraged, and challenged us on our Christian journey. In silence, let us remember them. Lord, hear us.
Lord, graciously hear us.
We commend ourselves and all for whom we pray to the mercy and protection of God. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Just a few notices to remind you that we do have our service of remembering and thanking. There might be a few spaces if you'd still like to attend. Please let me or the wardens know. But you will be able to see the service online at 5 o'clock. So if you don't want to come out, then please do join us for that service this afternoon. We have an advertisement for our Look Up, Look Out at Zoom Away Morning. Not hopefully, but I'm sure there may be more people with a free Saturday morning than expected to be. So please, if you want to join us for that, do drop an email or a call to the parish office or to me, and you can get the joining instructions. You'll be able to join on Zoom, or you will be able to join on the telephone. So everybody who owns a telephone or a computer will be able to be part of that. No one will be excluded. So it would be great to have as many people on that day as we can. Spare a thought for Elizabeth and Roger, for whom that was meant to be their wedding day. We are going to have a conversation whether they can get married before Thursday. So, you know, Elizabeth and Roger, they're frequent attenders at this service. And so please do hold them in your prayers this week, because something's going to happen, I reckon. Good, lovely. Finally, just to say, sort of slightly ironically, we were moving towards a new look to our services. I'm delighted to say that this, at 10:30 we're going to hold two children's groups for the first time this week. We're trialling it. And at 9 o'clock, we'd hope to introduce a bit more music, hymns. No choir as yet. That's proving a bit complicated. But of course, with the announcement last night, we will not be able to have worship in the building. for the duration of the lockdown. Obviously it's all very new, but the government advice is that the building can be open to broadcast worship, but not for acts of worship. So I've got to think about how we're going to do that, how we're going to structure our services. We might change the times online. So please do keep an eye on the website during the week. It will be very clear from that when the service is going to be. We just need to work out what's going to work best for everybody for this sort of shorter period of lockdown. The other thing, just to sort of say, I'm a bit, in the dark with you all. We can open the church for individual prayer, but our experience of opening the church for individual prayer in the summer was actually, it really wasn't what people seemed to want. And it's also complicated because, of course, at that stage, people weren't in lockdown. So that might make it more popular, less popular, who can come? Can we man it if people are in lockdown? Do we put the heating on? What do we do? All these things are yet to be understood and worked out. If you have a good idea, if you feel very strongly about something, then please do talk to me, drop me an email, talk to the wardens. I can't promise we'll agree with you or do what you'd like, but let's hear what you have to say, because we're all just doing the best we can. So if you've got input, please do give it to us. Thank you. I think those are all the notices. So I'll invite you to stand as we share the peace together. We are all one in Christ Jesus. We belong to him through faith, heirs of the promise of the Spirit of peace and joy. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Let us offer one another an appropriately socially distanced sign of peace. Just a very brief reminder, you probably don't really need it, but when it comes to communion, you will be guided to come up from the back. If you're sitting on an aisle seat, please move back so the person at the other end of the aisle can come out first, and you'll receive the bread, move off, and then through the doors around there, and then come back to your seat. We will use Eucharistic Prayer E this morning, which you can find on page 30 of the Red Communion booklet. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. Father, you made the world and love your creation. You gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be our Saviour. His dying and rising have set us free from sin and death. And so we gladly thank you, with saints and angels praising you and saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. We praise and bless you, loving Father, through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we obey his command, send your Holy Spirit, that broken bread and wine outpoured may be for us the body and blood of your dear Son. On the night before he died, he had supper with his friends, and taking bread, he praised you. He broke the bread, gave it to them, and said, Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. When supper was ended, he took the cup of wine. Again, he praised you and gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. So, Father, we remember all that Jesus did. In him we plead with confidence his sacrifice made once for all upon the cross. Bringing before you the bread of life and cup of salvation, we proclaim his death and resurrection until he comes in glory. Great is the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Lord of all life, help us to work together for that day when your kingdom comes and justice and mercy will be seen in all the earth. Look with favor on your people. Gather us in your loving arms and bring us with all the saints to feast at your table in heaven. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, O loving Father, forever and ever. Amen. We say together the prayer which our Saviour taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ. Though we are many, we are one body, because we all share in one bread. Draw near with faith. Receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat and drink in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving. We say together the second prayer on page 15. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us and we in him, and that we with the whole company of Christ may sit and eat in your kingdom. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ.
A prayer for those who cannot receive
communion. But this will be a spiritual communion. Come, Lord Jesus, dwell in me and send your Holy Spirit that I may be filled with your presence. As the hem of your garment touched in faith healed the woman in the gospel, so may I be healed. Although I cannot receive you in the sacrament, I can, through this offering of my prayer, receive you in my heart. Grant this for Christ's sake. Amen. The body of our Lord Jesus Christ, broken for you. We say together the second prayer on page 16. Father of all, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far off, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gate of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We whom the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, so we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to your praise, your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. I realise before we close that it is, of course, the 1st of November, and I forgot to do birthdays. So I know there's at least one person in this congregation who has a birthday, and I know there's one person online who has a birthday. Isabel, it's your birthday this month, isn't it? So you get to stand. You could even stand on the pew if you wanted to, but that's not obligatory at 9 o'clock. Judith Mackey, of course, has a November birthday, and it's a good birthday. It's a good month for Olivia, who's going to be his one today. So little Olivia de Borgia is one today, and Thomas and Elliot and Anna, who are all respectively about, I think, 6 and 11 and 8, Anna's being Isabel's daughter. Anyone else lay claim to a November birthday? Even if it was, you wouldn't admit to it, would you? Okay, well, I think what we will do is we will just hear a little bit of, I didn't warn the organist about this. Are you happy to play it? Thank you. Let's, and we can think of Isabel and Judith and anyone else who we know who's got November birthdays. Thank you. Happy birthday. We were going to finish our service with listening to another hymn. And so, do we think it's working, Dave? It seems to be. Yes, it is. Great. Not quite behaving itself, the projector, this morning. So shall we stand for a final time to share in the hymn, Thy Hand, O God, Has Guided. Of course, we will not be meeting in church again like this for a few weeks, but we will quite soon, the weeks will be over before we know it, and we will return once again rejoicing within these walls. Grant us, we pray, a heart wide open to all joy and beauty. Save our souls from being so steeped in care or so darkened by grief that we pass heedless and unseeing, when even the thorn bush by the wayside is aflame with the glory of God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, be with you. The peace of God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Peace and joy be with you and upon those for whom you pray, now and forevermore. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Somebody will guide you out in a minute, so just stay there.